All right, we're going to get out to our next guest. He was in town here a week or so ago. He's the president and CEO of Sports360AZ.com. I would encourage you to check out that website. He's a local guy, used to work with me at our old radio station years ago. Grew up Valley Center, Escondido High School graduate, Palomar College, and great to have Brad Sesmat join us on the Mighty 1090 and the Corky's Hotline. How we doing?
I'm watching the number one big man in the country in 2018. He's pretty good. His name is Marvin Bagley. Remember Jumpin' Joe Caldwell back in the day at Arizona State?
Yeah.
It's his grandson. And the kid's 6'9". He plays like he's, I don't know, 6'1". He's just killing it in the state's quarters out here. So I stepped out of the arena for a second to visit with you, and you got a lot going on with your football team and your stadium out here.
Yes, we do, and that's one of the reasons we wanted to have you on the program. You've been over there in Arizona, what, 21 years now?
Feels like 51. No, just kidding. Yeah, 21 years now, Coach.
Okay, 21 years. And how many new facilities athletically have you seen open up for the professional franchises over there?
Okay, so in Glendale, we had Jobbing.com and University of Phoenix Stadium with the naming rights. So there's two. Sun Devil Stadium, which is an absolute dump, is being refurbished now. It's the arena I'm in on campus at Arizona State, Wells Fargo Arena. It's a dump, and they're redoing that. Chase Field, Bank One Ballpark, downtown Phoenix with a cotton patch when I got here. And then U.S. Airways Center, where the Suns play right now, Robert Sarver, the owner of the Suns, wants a new arena. He said this one's outdated and needs to be done. And in fairness to him, John, the average lifespan of these buildings, about 20 years. Madison Square Garden just underwent a refab, and they had the All-Star game there. I heard it was terrific. Problem over here in Phoenix, the plot of land that they put the downtown arena on is too small, so Robert Sarver's got to find another place here in the Valley to put his basketball arena. There's been cannibalism of concerts and other venues, other events, because there's so many venues here. You know, if you want a concert, you've got Phoenix bidding against Glendale, bidding against a couple of other theaters here. And I bring it up because in San Diego, with your stadium situation, I mean, John, it's no offense, but Jack Murphy was a dump when I was there. It just was. And people don't like to hear that about their hometown stadium, but it's completely and totally inadequate. And you have to upgrade in this day and age. The NFL's going to hold you hostage. What happened last week with the Chargers and Raiders coming out, I sat over here and just shook my head and said, yeah, they're at it again. I mean, the Cardinals went through a similar deal where if we can't get our stadium, you know, we may have to leave. And what do you know? They got their stadium. They went about it with a tax on beds over here, beds and hotels, and I think the same thing could be put in place over there. I don't know the ins and outs, but it's been pretty effective over here. You really have to trust your ownership. The sense I have from fans over there is kind of an indifference towards the ownership. I don't hear a hatred or a love either way. It's not the Spanoses. You're, of course, much closer, but I've got family there. They're kind of indifferent on the whole thing. You know, the scenarios that I hear, John, and could be as one that that St. Louis and Kroenke go to L.A., the Chargers stay in San Diego, and the Raiders end up in St. Louis, and the NFL puts an expansion team in L.A. as well. I mean, there's a lot of scenarios, but the bottom line is the NFL is doing exactly what they do, and that's hold up cities and make sure that they get their way.
Okay, the Glendale, the University of Phoenix Stadium, was basically, how was that financed? Through the bed and hotel tax and rental car tax?
Well, about 60% of it was put through that. The other was through private financing. The NFL pitched in on that. The amount that they pitched in, debatable on who you talk to on that front, but it wasn't just hotel tax. That wasn't the only way that went about it. The NFL and the Cardinals put in some private financing as well.
But they were able to get 60% of the nut through the hotel bed tax.
Correct.
That would be big here in San Diego. To this point, that seems to be a little bit of an issue. Let me ask you this, Brad, regarding the naming rights at that facility. How was that split, or was it split?
So University of Phoenix it's funny over here, anything that has happened with the Cardinals, their coaches, whether it's Ken Wisenhunt when he was here or Bruce Arians when he is here or their general managers, whenever they hold any sort of press conference, it's like they're just programmed to thank University of Phoenix Stadium and how great the fans are. And after a while, you just kind of roll your eyes and say, okay, they got their sponsorship plug in. University of Phoenix has had the naming rights, John. It's my understanding that those naming rights are going to be going away in the next few years. What the price tag is anybody's guess. The naming rights game is one that changes year after year after year. It's kind of like where you are. People like calling it the MRF, and then the Q comes along. And if you don't have a naming rights deal, you're leaving an enormous revenue stream off the plate. What we had heard over here in the late 2000s when the housing crisis happened over here and businesses were just closing right and left and people were losing their houses all over the place was, how much longer can University of Phoenix keep doing this, and what is the actual value on that naming rights deal? Just this year, U.S. Airways Arena downtown left their naming rights deal on the table, and now downtown Phoenix's hotel or arena will be named after one of the casinos over here. You've got the casino deal over there where the Saucers play. So, and that's probably what you're going to have to look at in San Diego. The question is, how deep are the pockets for a naming rights deal that's sustainable? Not for 5 years, not for 10 years, but a 20-year deal that they can look at and say, all right, we have this revenue stream coming in.
Brad Sussman, our guest here on the Mighty 1090. Brad, how about a lot of the ballparks that have been opened up over there the last 5-6 years? The spring training parks, how are those financed?
So they're through each city goes about it a different way. I'll bring up Glendale as the example. The city of Glendale is broke, John. Glendale decided to go all in on the stadium and to go all in on Jobbing.com Arena where the Coyotes play. The Coyotes have been an absolute disaster over here off the ice as well as on the ice. They've gone through numerous owners. The stadium over there is on the wrong side of the valley. They built it to where from my house to there it's 58 miles, okay, one way. So they shut out where a large portion of the population is, which is on the Southeast Valley. They also built Camelback Ranch, the city of Glendale did, with the White Sox and Dodgers. They built that facility facing east, southeast. So the sun beats on you all day long. You go to see the Dodgers and White Sox play. And add to that, they put this facility in place assuming hotels were going to come in. And quite frankly, if you look at that side of town, the west side of the valley, the housing crisis still hasn't really recovered. So there's not much hotel space out there, at least as much as they thought would come in out there. Now, on top of it, with the recession, these last few years have been lean years in terms of people coming out to watch their beloved White Sox or to come out and watch the Reds or to come out and watch the Indians, to come out and watch the Brewers. And the Cactus League's in a little bit of trouble. Cactus League is in a little bit of trouble. When the Diamondbacks were in Tucson, fans would drive from Phoenix down to Tucson to watch them play. Well, now that they're here in Phoenix, fans don't necessarily have to go over to the west side to see the Diamondbacks play the Reds or go out and see them play the Padres or go out and see them play the Mariners. It's great that the Padre fans drive over here on I-8, that dreadful drive. It's fine. But there's not enough of them to sustain game after game around the Cactus League. So there's a lot of stadiums where they're not playing to full houses or even half full houses. They're playing to family and friends. And it's really interesting to see how the Cactus League has been here.
Brad Sussman joining us. Brad has a dynamite website. You can go online. He's also got a two-hour show every day on Sports360AZ.com. He is the president and CEO. As far as the stadiums, namely University of Phoenix Stadium, no taxpayer money act from Arizonans went into that stadium?
No, there was taxpayer money, but you know, I don't have the exact figures in front of me, but it wasn't all just financed through the hotel tax. There was taxpayer money that went through it. There was a vote with the players. Jake Plummer went door to door and was on the phone and asking for money to make sure that passed. And it passed by a very narrow margin. conservative market over here. A lot of retirees, John, they don't like to hear the word tax. But, yeah, there was a tax that was put in place. The location was the real issue. That's where it was supposed to be built, right here by Arizona State, right along to the freeways intersecting, the 101 and the 202, Rio Salado Crossing Project. That fell apart when the Cardinals went to the newspaper and said, oh, maybe we're not going to be here. And they went through the public financing. It wasn't fully financed through the public, but there was a portion of it that was.
All right, let's jump over and let's talk about sports here for a minute. Arizona Diamondbacks, people excited about Diamondback baseball, what this new leadership is going to bring?
No. how's that for an answer?
Pretty good.
Yeah, hope springs eternal. And look, it's Tony La Russa and Dave Stewart is coming out the agency end. And you put Dave Stewart along with Tony La Russa, and Chip Hale comes in, a breath of fresh air as manager. But it's not what the Padres did this offseason. You know, you go out and you bring in quite a few new faces and names. It's over here, the excitement is just, yeah, Paul Goldschmidt. John, if Paul Goldschmidt played in New York or Los Angeles or Chicago, he might well be the face of all of Major League Baseball. He's that good of a guy. He's that good of a player. He's that strong in the clubhouse. He's everything you would want a Major League Baseball player at first base. He was hurt last season, the second half of the year. But because he's here in Arizona, nobody really knows about him. And he's terrific. He's a lot of fun to watch. And I feel like you build your team around him. If Mark Trumbo can come back healthy, may not strike out a whole bunch. They brought in some young players around them, but it's a work in progress over here. This is a team that's a couple of years away.
What else is going on over there in Arizona? Everybody excited about University of Arizona and what they're getting done on the basketball court?
So the way this works over here, it's like every few weeks there's something new that's going on. We just got a Super Bowl out of here, and we just got the Tiger Woods out of here before he imploded over on your neck of the woods. Now we've got all the spring training teams going on. U of A, I don't know if they're a title team this year. They look a little suspect, in my opinion, in the interior defense, but it's still the University of Arizona, and they've had a good season. With all the Cactus League action going on here, we'll have NASCAR here in 2 weeks. That'll bring in well over 150,000 fans. So it just doesn't stop. It's one thing after the next over here, and it's terrific. But I will say, back on the stadium thing, the amount of time that the civic leaders put in over here, and I'll give the Cardinals a lot of credit because their reputation when I got here was horrible. Now they're the most loved franchise over here because they've handled themselves in a way that the other franchises over here have not. In the last few years, they've won 21 football games. They just extended their coach and general manager. They signed their star player, Larry Fitzgerald, even though he's past his prime. And they've handled themselves in a way with the stadium where I think they've been good stewards within the community, John. If you get a new stadium in San Diego and you're able to salvage keeping the Chargers there, what else is that stadium going to do? And I'll give the Bidwells over here a ton of credit. They've kept a lot of events rolling in and rolling out. And, yeah, they're making money hand over fist. I have no problem with that as long as civically you're doing your duty. And they've handled themselves, I think, in a very good way in a time over here where it's competitive. You know, the concert thing alone is cutthroat, from my understanding. The plays, concerts, and all these big arenas, some of them are dying on the vine. So how will that work in San Diego? Because, yeah, it's great. You have 8 Charger games. You have a couple of those worthless preseason games that nobody should even go to. They're such a ripoff. But then you have your postseason games. So, you know, you look at 12 dates out of the year, you hope. Are you going to be able to have the Holiday Bowl there? Would you have other bowls there? How are they going to be involved in the funding process? Are they going to want to get involved? The Fiesta Bowl over here got involved with the Cardinals and stood shoulder to shoulder because there are a lot of key political figures on the Fiesta Bowl board. How does Bruce Binkowski and the people over at the Holiday Bowl, how do they go about that? You know, so you look around, it's people like you. You know, you're a known commodity and a big voice and face. Well, where are you at? Where's a guy like Leitner at on this? Where's a guy like Saw on this? Guys that have been in the Valley or in San Diego, rather, for a long period of time that have a voice. Where's the newspaper weigh on this? So you have to factor all those things and have a game plan, because you don't want to lose a pro football franchise. You just don't.
Amen to that. Hey, Brad, great stuff as always. Keep up the great work, and look forward to talking to you real soon.
Brad, your bride. Stay well. You sound great.
All right. There's our man, Brad Sesmat, joining us from Arizona. Again, he's president and CEO of Sports360AZ.com.